Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus. What you're about to hear is a show that Doug and I recorded about a week ago, believe it or not, right before the Miami game. And lo and behold, every single issue we talked about is just as relevant 1 week later. In the interim, obviously the loss against Miami, of the miracle win against Charlotte, the embarrassing loss versus the Portland Trail Blazers, and the embarrassing loss against Golden State have occurred. Doug and I talk about timeless topics on Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, the head coach, etc. What's the direction of the team going forward? I hope you enjoy it. A few quick comments on the Bulls going forward. I notice now that a lot of the same people who 60 days ago were just lauding the moves of the organization in the summer are now obviously burying them, and that's expected. That's what Dog Bowl Nation does. But I will say there's one fireable offense. There is absolutely one fireable offense, and that's turning over the talent on this team to this head coach, because he's been utterly incompetent, and I don't think he can right the ship. I'm rarely wrong, but I hope I'm wrong in this case, because it's apparent he's lost the team. It's apparent the team doesn't believe in him. They're not responding to his head coaching. And I think a different direction needs to happen. My suggestion is that John Paxson steps in and takes over the team, or Doug Collins. That would be the lone move that I would be happy with. Otherwise, right now, if that move does not happen, you have to look at cleaning house from top to bottom. And it's unfortunate, because I think John Paxson has done a lot of good moves for his organization since he took over. There's talent on his team. I love the draft pick of Wendell Carter Jr. I like the draft pick of Coby White. I like the draft pick of Lauri Markkanen. But those players have regressed. Lauri and Zach have regressed. And Coby and Wendell Carter Jr. cannot have their futures determined and steered by Jim Boylan. End of story. Hope you like what we have to say. Please email me at ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com. Email me at ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at CBEFred. I hope you enjoy the latest edition of the Big Red Bus. Hello again. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus. The great one. The podfather himself. Doug Tonis is my co-pilot. And we're taking this dilapidated bus out. The wheels are made of balsa wood. The roof is blown off. Windows shot out.
Stop with the bus. Stop with the bus description. No one cares.
I know you love this part. This is my favorite part of the show. I know I'm irritating you. It leads to better radio. We're taking it out on the roads of Illinois. How you doing, my friend? How's it going?
I'm doing great. Spent the week in Orlando. A little bit of a nice break from the Chicago weather. And got to watch plenty of basketball in the evenings with nothing else to do.
That sounds like an absolutely perfect weekend. So I'm sure you have a lot to say about the issues with the beloved Bull, and there are many, many. So let's start out with the first one, which is give me your top three reasons, brother, on why we're at where we are today, far worse than we expect.
Well, the top three reasons are Zach, Lowry, and Otto. Those were supposed to be our three best players. Lowry has just been god-awful. Zach has been pretty much awful, though maybe not god-awful. And then Otto was pretty poor in most of the games and then has been out. So your 1, 2, and 3 options are all either underperforming or not playing at all. And that's it. That's the main thing that is killing the team.
Now, I know you're out on Lowry. It's obvious that you don't feel that. I mean, let's start with that. What do you think the Bulls should do with Lauri Markkanen? You don't believe he's probably even a Robin to a Batman, from what I take on your tweets. I still disagree. I think I've come off top 10 status as one of the better, top 10 ability in the league. But I do think he can be a Robin. I don't think you even feel he's got that capability.
No, I mean, so he can be a role player. He can be a guy who helps your team win, and I don't mean role player in a super negative connotation. But what does he do for you? He's not a plus defender. He's not a plus passer. He's not a guy who creates double teams for you. He seems pretty lazy and low energy out there, both on both sides of the floor. And so theoretically, he would give you shooting, except he's not giving you shooting. He's really pretty much an awful shooter right now. But let's assume that he becomes a decent shooter. He gives you shooting and probably some scoring, and that's good. Like, those are things that you need as a stretch four, but he's not someone who looks like he's going to give you a whole lot else. He doesn't have a big athletic advantage. He doesn't have an extreme skill advantage. And I think that was the argument for Lowry, is that he was going to become one of these guys who's extremely, extremely skilled, kind of like Dirk or whoever, and was going to kill guys with his skill. And what we've seen so far is that he is nowhere close to being that type of player. His skill level is not that high. After 2.5 years, I don't think it's going to become super, super high where he's going to be one of these guys who just has so much skill, he crushes your team, and clearly, athletically, he's nothing special.
Yeah, and of course, I'm going to disagree. I do feel that he does have that ability. I think he's a very skilled player for his size. For a power forward, I think he can take it to the rim. He's an underrated dribbler. You're right, he's not a great passer, but I think he is a good rebounder. The whole thing with Larry Markkanen is it all starts and ends with his three-point shot. All good things flow from that. In the last game, he had a really rock-solid game, 24 points in 29 minutes, got to the line 11 times. He was 3-4 from the three-point line. That greatly affects how aggressively teams come out on him. It benefits all other aspects of his game, not just his game, but the rest of the team. And if he's going to continue to shoot at 29% where he's at right now, yes, this guy, there's no way. You're right, he's a role player. We need him shooting at 38%, which is night and day from where he's at now. I think he has that ability, but I will admit, I am starting to not believe that he can be the 1A that I thought he could. And I'm certain of that now. I still believe he's got Robin ability. I think he'd be the second best player on a team that wins a title. But he's going to need to significantly improve his three-point shooting. Why has it been so poor so far?
Let's say, for example, he improves his three-point shooting up to 38%, the number you threw out there.
Yeah.
So a good shooter, right? Like, not elite, but good.
That's very good.
Three-point shooter.
That's very good.
Yeah, it's very good. But, it depends on the quality of shots and whether he's creating them like James Harden or whether he's getting kickouts that, it kind of varies. 38% is just one metric. It depends on the degree of difficulty and whatever.
Okay.
If he's not someone who's creating in isolation, creating his own shot, being able to create a focal point of the offense that frees up other players, then I think that's what he needs to be, a Robin. And I don't see that. So I think he could be the third option if things go good, where he's like the release valve, kind of like we envisioned Otto Porter in this season at the beginning of the year. Like, Otto Porter wasn't going to create a lot of shots, but he was going to space the floor, and that would open up opportunities for others, and he would knock down shots when they came to him. I think Lowry could be that guy, but I think that still is one step less than a Robin, I guess, in this case. I think, offensively, he's your third best offensive player if things get a lot better for him than they are now. And I do think his shooting can come around. I'm not, so down on him that I think, wow, this guy is just god-awful and is going to be a terrible player forever. I just, now I'm placing him as a guy who's not going to be a shot creator. He's not going to generate lots of offense for other people. He's going to be a guy who maybe, if things work out, can hit open shots and can take advantage of his looks. And, if he shoots and guys come out at him, then he can take it to the basket. But that's still not the same as tossing him the ball and saying, go get us 2 points. I don't think he'll ever be that guy.
Just mere fact that he's 7 feet tall or almost 7 feet tall, I think he's going to get a lot of shots. He's a shot creator in that aspect. And that, he's not going to be able to pretty much bring the ball up, draw a double team, and expect to get a basket. That's not what he's going to do. But as long as he can improve his shooting to the point where he's going to demand attention and pull out any big in this league, I think that's Robin-esque. I think that's important. Joel Embiid doesn't create
name a
his
team.
Own shot. He doesn't. He's not. You don't get him.
Joel Embiid definitely can create his own.
But
shot.
But he's not. He's not bringing
the ball in the post.
Yeah, you got to get.
No, I'm not talking about bringing the ball up.
Yes, but you
cannot hand the ball to Lowry with a guy on him and have him create a good look.
The mere nature that he's 7 feet tall.
You can
get
Joel Embiid in the post.
That's not true.
But it doesn't.
If you do a pick and post.
If there's a guy on him on the perimeter and you throw him the ball, he will not create a good look on his own. And Lowry can't post up anyone. I don't think he can post up you. If you were sitting in the post defending him, I don't think he can post up you. I want to smack Stacey King every time he says, oh, small guy on Lowry, you got him in the post. Lowry is god-awful in the post. He gets destroyed every time he tries to post someone up. He's good off the dribble, and theoretically, when he's playing better, he's good at the three-point line shooting threes. And he's good dribbling in when a guy runs out at him. He blows past him and gets a good look. But he's not good in the post.
He's not good
when a guy is set on him.
I don't think you can declare him dead. I agree with your statement. He's not good in the post with a guy who's a capable defender who's 6'8 or taller. He is fine in the post when there is a mismatch on a pick and roll, and he gets a 6'3 or 6'2 guy on him. The problem with this team for the last 3 years has been their continued refusal to get him the ball in the post when he has a positive matchup. The Bulls are not good at that, and they continue to struggle with it, and it drives me freaking nuts. And you're not making the most out of Lauri Markkanen when you do a pick and pop or a pick and roll, and he does get that matchup, and you refuse to get him the ball. I agree with you, Doug, on the statement that he's not great in the post against the bigger guys. That is a true statement.
That's fine. I think if he should be able to destroy a 6'2 guy anytime he touches the ball.
But would you agree they struggle with that? They're terrible.
Yeah, I do think they struggle at getting him the ball. I think his ability, even when he does get the ball, is much less than it should be. But I agree, it's still a positive matchup. Probably more times than not. If there's a 6'2", 6'3 guy on him, he'll get a decent shot. But it should be much better than it is.
No doubt.
And whatever. I don't think that's like the key thing that's killing the team. I mean, like you said at the beginning, if he was shooting 38% from three, you'd feel a lot different about him right now. And the Bulls would probably have 2-3 more wins, and you'd feel a lot different about the team right now.
Totally. The whole nature of this conversation we have now would be transformed. To me, that's the number one issue, is Lauri Markkanen's missed far too many wide-open three-pointers. All the rest kind of falls. I agree Boylan's a moron, but I don't think that's number one. I don't think that's number one. So you don't even think Boylan's in the top three. Let's get your take on Boylan.
No, I mean, so it's hard to judge coaches, right? Like, you don't really see what they're doing. Every time someone complains about a coach, they say something stupid like, oh, I think their rotations suck.
Well, you see Daniel Gafford.
You know why you think that? Because
sitting for a month.
Every time there's like rotations out there that you think are bad, it's because you're using hindsight and the lineup you used didn't work. I think he's actually, the three-guard lineup he's thrown out there has actually been pretty good, has been pretty successful, and given what he has on the roster with like no healthy small forwards, has been okay. The things I've not liked about Boylan that I can judge, and I'm saying I can't judge much. Like, I don't see practice. I don't know where his real work is being done. I don't know if the players believe in him. Like, those are the important things. The things I can say that I don't like for sure is he waited a long time to go with Gafford, even though all the evidence we saw was that he should give Gafford a look, and that he has twice kind of come out in the press and said, like, well, I can't play. These guys need to hit shots. I can't take the shots. You know, these guys need to play. And I just don't think you should be out there calling your players out. You know, I just don't think that's
really absolutely
inspires
true.
Your players. I don't think that builds anything. So those two things I'm like really down about. But like, do I think he's a bad coach? I think the offense is getting a lot of open threes. I think they're getting a lot of shots in the paint. Like, analytically, that's what you want your offense to do. So, you know, I don't think he's like the worst. I mean, it might be fine. I don't know. I don't think it's one of the big problems, though.
Let's look at the top three things for a coach. Number one to me is what you just described. Do they play hard for you? And I don't think effort's really been a major problem for the Bulls, you know. So that's the most important thing. In the long run, if guys tune the coach out, effort will show up and effort will be a problem. And I think there are some things which we'll get to later in the show which could potentially cause problems. And you're absolutely right. When he calls them out and says they need to perform, that kind of stuff, that in defense of Tibbs, that was the one thing I really did appreciate from him, is he never, or rarely, occasionally did it to Boozer, bury a player in public. Everything should be positive with the press. So that's absolutely right. But the other two things are the rotations and timeouts and use of timeouts. He's failed miserably in both of those. Gafford sitting on the bench, when we all knew after 20 minutes that Cornette couldn't play, especially the way with the defense they were running, is a condemnation of that. And his timeouts has been an absolute calamity. To end the Charlotte game with no timeouts in a winnable game, and then the inability to advance the ball to half court, and then not take a timeout against the Lakers when we just let a massive lead go and they go on a 16-0 run, it's inexcusable. So, you know, we'll stay away from that for right now because I don't want to get upset and start punching holes in the windows. But
we'll just say,
what's that?
Agree with you on the timeouts. Agree with you on the timeouts. I didn't think about that one, but yes, agree with you. His timeout management also poor. And then I'll even throw in lots of times he could have challenged plays that I think could have been reversed.
Yeah.
And I think, what is he challenged one play so far? I mean, I just think like,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole challenge thing is kind of a train wreck, so I don't get on him too much because there's like, you only get one and you want to save it till it really matters. But
totally agree. The other issue is you're up by, you're losing by 25 to Houston. I'm just going to throw these two examples out. You're losing by 25 to Houston. You have 3.5 minutes left. This is the day after Denzel Valentine has a great game for Windy City. He doesn't see the court, but you end that game with Thad Young playing 3.5 minutes. For what? Why would you risk our number one free agent signing in the offseason, according to many people. You know, obviously Satoransky, we can have that argument another day and time. Regardless, this is a captain of the team. You end the game for 3.5 minutes with this guy on the court risking injury in a blowout? Why? Why? Flash forward to the 20-point victory the other night. Valentine doesn't even see the court, and he's got the gall to actually send a message with a quote from his college coach Tom Izzo in the presser afterwards. What is your take on the handling of Denzel Valentine? And obviously Gafford, that's already been proved as a massive mistake. His handling of Denzel Valentine and his refusal to play him.
Well, I mean, clearly Valentine is in the doghouse, and I don't want to speculate as to why that is. There can be lots of legitimate reasons, like he's completely illegitimate. He's playing terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it is possible, but I mean, like, let's be fair. You have a pretty big axe to grind on the Valentine train, you know, like you're a huge supporter of this guy. I don't think there's like a lot of reason to be in love with him. You know, you have to see what's going on in practice. We don't get to see that. And maybe Valentine is deserving of playing. Maybe he's not. I don't really know. I mean, he certainly doesn't look like he's in great shape. You know, I would say I agree with you. Like, throw him out there. What is the harm in doing it? But
and playing him in a blowout.
It's not going to hit my list of things I'm going to like go to war about or complain about or care about. Like it's
no,
not
I
like
understand.
Critical, like, oh my god. But yeah, I guess, sure. I mean, in a blowout, I'd rather have, you know, Gafford or Valentine playing like in earlier blowouts before Gafford finally got some minutes. Like, you know, if you're not going to win anyway, you might as well get these guys a little burn and see what's going to happen.
I want to throw it back to Zach LaVine. I should have brought this up earlier, but Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer had a very controversial article which about Zach LaVine calling him a six-man. LaVine's best role is as a six-man, end quote. The Bulls don't treat LaVine like a six-man, though. He's their featured player, ostensibly the face of their franchise. They would explore trading him and investing more in young players like Carter Markkanen and rookie Kobe White. What's your take? Have you had a chance to read that article? But let's just go with what I quoted there. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I agree, and have no idea why that's controversial. It's completely spot on.
That he should be a sixth man, not a starter in the focus of a franchise.
I don't think it matters whether he's a starter or the focus of a franchise. I mean, like, so starter or sixth man, I don't think it matters. He needs to be in a role where, though, he is going to get the ball, he's going to score a lot, you can live with his defense, he can score in bunches, he can take a lot of shots. You know, like, if you imagine LaVine coming off the bench with, like, a super defensive-focused lineup,
mm-hmm.
and they just said, go out there and score a whole ton. Yeah, that would really be, like, one of the situations where he would shine the brightest, right? Like, his defense would hurt you the least. Yeah, he could carry a bunch of guys who can't do a lot defensively. And then your team would benefit by resting whomever your prime offensive players are in your starting lineup. So I think that would be his, like, great role. And there's some really good players in that role, like Manu Ginobili, you know, played in that role. It doesn't mean he can't finish games. It doesn't mean he can't be a scorer at the end if you really need points in that situation. You know, Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford at his peak at certain times. Like, there's been guys who've been really key pieces to teams that kind of have that role of, like, I'm going to carry a unit of guys who can't score and provide all of the offense, and I'm going to take all the shots. And now some of these other things he has going on that are really hurting the team now would not really be big impacts in that role.
Would you, if I hired you as the GM of Chicago Bulls and I bought the team, so are you telling me you would explore trading LaVine for other assets or keeping on the team and trying to find better answers at the shooting guard position and have him come off the bench?
Well, I mean, yes, to both, right? Like, you explore trades, you explore bringing in other assets. You know, I mean, he's our number one scorer now in the face of the franchise. I have air quotes going there. Because what else are you going to do? Like, just put Kobe White in?
Yeah,
like, Kobe White is
exactly
foreman Zach LaVine right now. So, like, you don't have, like, a lot of choices right now that are meaningful. So, I mean, yeah, Zach's playing the role he's playing because there's no one better to play it. I mean, who else is going to be first option? You're going to make Satoransky first option? You're going to make Shaq Harrison first option? I mean, so it's fine that he's doing what he's doing now. But, yeah, if you could trade him and get good value, I'd be okay with it. If you can find someone who's, like, a legit number one option that could replace him at shooting guard, I'd be fine with it. You know, you just, like, anything. If you're a GM, you have to figure out what is the best thing I can do to make things better. You know, a lot of guys aren't always playing in the role that's perfectly suited for them. You know, they play in the best role they can for that team. And right now, Zach is doing that, but it's not the role that's probably ideally suited for him.
No doubt. You mentioned Coby White. My feelings on Coby White before the draft, I was really concerned about his shooting that I saw on tape. But he's obviously had glimpses of greatness in his young career here for the Bulls and winning us at least two games. Unfortunately, in those other games, I thought he was commensurately awful. And he's really shot us out of several games, I felt. But, you know, overall, I'm pleased with Coby White because he's definitely performed better than I expected, definitely on the defensive end. And overall, I think, big picture, he's shown he has the skills of playing this league for a long time. How great is the ceiling? You know, that's yet to be determined. What's your take on Coby White? Do you agree that possibly his best position down the road could be as a shooting guard?
I think that might be true. I think the league is just moving away from shooting guard and point guard. Actually, I think the league has never really had shooting guard and point guards as much as fans think it has. You know, most of the time, I've always been in kind of this multi-ball handler set. There's very few teams that really run. Anyway, that's a whole different argument. I don't want to get into it. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a guard, and I think he can probably play either position. He'll be in a multi-ball handler system like every other guard pretty much is. I'm not that excited about Coby White right now. I get the fact that he looked great in a few flashes, but the flashes he looked great, it's like, I was 7-11 from the three-point line. He's taking step-back threes over guys. Well, sure, that's a nice flash, but is that ever going to be permanent? Like, is there ever going to be a point in Coby White's career where he consistently shoots 66% or something from the three-point line while taking step-back threes? Well, clearly not. It's clearly just an aberration. Like, there's no player that does that consistently unless he becomes the next James Harden. And that just doesn't seem super likely. I mean, right now, in aggregate, his percentages make him look like poor man's Gennaro Pargo. Yeah, he's going to come in, he's going to, like,
come on,
give you something really great a couple games, but then he shoots you out of, like, 8 of 10 games. So that's fine where he is right now, like, 2 months into his career as an NBA basketball player. Like, it's okay that he's trying to feel his way out and find his shots and adjust to the league and get better and try different things. Like, I'm not apocalyptic about him, like kind of that quote makes it sound like I am. But it's like people look at the
balls. I would. I'll talk to you soon.
Hope so.
All right, brother.
Talk to you soon.